everyone, this is Sarah from The Journey and welcome to another episode of My Journey. Now, sharing their story with us today is the lovely Jackie Jones. Now, I think this one is particularly interesting for a few reasons. Firstly, Jackie is one of the nicest, most open people I've come across in quite a while, so it's lovely to hear her approach to things. But I think even more than that, Jackie really embodies very much what it's like to be a modern woman these days and the struggles that come alongside that. Jackie has a lot to juggle. She's a career woman herself. She's a step parent. So she talks to us a lot about having a blended family and how to manage that. She's a mother of one. She's also a writer, an illustrator, and she's wife to a real life rock star. So Jackie shares with us how she tackles some of these modern challenges, and she's very open with some of the struggles that I think many of us feel. So really hope you enjoy this episode. Enjoy. Hi, Jackie. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us a little bit about Jackie. What do you do for work?
So I work in the music and entertainment industry. I head up talent and influencer relations at a PR firm called PMKBNC. We're an American firm. I started the office in the London office in 2011. And I'm loving it. And previously to that, I had my first job pretty much out of uni was working at Warner Brother Records, where I did TV and radio promotions. And then I jumped ship and went to MTV, where I worked on various shows, namely TRL, Total Request Live, Russell Brand's show, which was called One Leicester Square. So lots of fun and lots of stories along the way. And
glam. Honestly, you literally have had the dream coolest jobs ever.
Oh.
Now, one of the things that we're all very aware of is like back kind of, 30 years ago, even it was just so the norm for women to kind of be at home, get married and focus on being mothers. And now, of course, you're a total badass career woman and obviously you've got kids. So given all of this, when was it that you felt ready to kind of start your journey with kids, and how did you think about it in relation to your career?
Very good question. I've got two gorgeous stepdaughters, and I entered the parental world quite young. My experience of being a mother was through them. So I think even though that was challenging at times, being quite a young girl entering motherhood, it was also a very good learning experience for me because, not all the time, but, say, for example, on mornings, Saturday mornings, when all my friends would be having lions or getting in from the early hours, I'd be kind of down the park with my husband and my stepdaughters. And so I had a kind of interesting journey, entry into parenthood. And I think when I did decide to become a mother, I was just ready for it. We got married. I was always really, I really wanted to get married before having children. That was just my personal choice. So getting married first, and then we enjoyed a couple of years of being married. And then I kind of fell pregnant. I think I was 33 or 34. And I think that was a great time for me. I felt like I was really ready for it. And it was a good time in my career. I felt like I was a director of a company. I felt confident in my abilities. And I just felt like it was the right time. And but for me, I didn't want to just give up work. I was really adamant that I wanted to take a full year off and enjoy it. And I absolutely loved it. I think it was the best year of my life having that year. But I was really passionate to return to work because I love my job so much. And so that was really, really key for me.
And how did you manage that transition from obviously being at home with your daughter and having that year? How did you kind of manage that, both physically in terms of what did you do about childcare, and also it's quite a mental leap to kind of go from a year of being at home to then being back in the workplace, and it's kind of like you're returning almost to your old identity in a way.
Yeah. Well, do you know what? I actually, I asked work at the time if I could keep my email address live, and because I work in entertainment and all my job is about relationships, I didn't want to just literally leave the office and then go, see ya, and I'll see you in a year's time, because it's lucrative for me to maintain those relationships. And so in that year, even though I was off, I was still kind of doing bits and bobs and seeing people and networking and going to events, and I'd bring the baby with me.
Love that.
And
so
my
cool.
husband obviously works in music and entertainment too, so I'd go with him to festivals. So I always like kind of kept my foot in the door. And I think that helped me. Plus, I get bored, you know. I got bored being in the house every day, so I wanted
by
to kind
yourself
of yeah
as
I
well.
Wanted to keep busy. And whilst I was off, I basically worked up until I think a week before my due date. My last job was at the Brit Awards,
so cool,
where I hosted two tables for Warner Brothers and Ray-Ban, and I was literally ready to pop.
Get the towels ready just in case?
So that was the last job. And then I remember being at home on that Monday morning. So this was like my first day off. And I was like, oh my God, waiting for this baby to arrive. And I was like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? And I dug out this magazine that I'd been interviewed for, I think maybe 8 months prior, about my Jackie Doodles, my illustration work. And it was a parenting magazine called Smallish. And anyway, long story short, I thought it was a really cool mag. And I thought, I know, I'm going to pitch a column idea to the editor. So I basically messaged the editor and said, what do you think about me writing a column about the transition of working full-time entertainment to being a full-time mum? The editor came to meet me. We had a meeting and she said, look, if you can send me some writing examples, I'll review it, and if you can get me some copy by Thursday, we can put it in the next month's issue. So I gave her my copy by Thursday, and on the Friday, that's the day I had Riley.
Oh my goodness.
So it's amazing that I've got like a copy, like an issue, which is me writing about the week before I had Riley, waiting for her to arrive. And then copy two, next issue, was then having Riley.
Live.
So yeah, it was cool. So I did that for the year whilst I was off. So writing a column every month gave me a lovely thing to do. And I was meeting a new set of, you know, different contacts and stuff, and networking and going to loads of events. So I kept myself really busy.
Now, with your whole journey through conception and pregnancy and even having your daughter, I mean, it's lovely when people have a really straightforward process, but it's not necessarily the norm nowadays. How was yours? So, I mean, did you have any major issues, or was it just a really nice experience?
I didn't have any issues, thankfully. I guess it took us probably, I don't know, maybe up to a year. So I wasn't really actively conscious or thinking about it. But I suppose when I look at the times and,
subconsciously,
I guess, you know, but then I think it really did happen when we were completely 100% ready. Mm. So I had I was really fortunate enough to fall pregnant naturally.
That's really good. Yeah. And how was your pregnancy?
My pregnancy was amazing. I had such a great I feel like kind of apologetic when I say this, because some of my friends and my family have had really bad pregnancies and also birth, but I had a wonderful pregnancy. I didn't really suffer any morning sickness. I felt very well throughout it, and I didn't really feel like much different.
That's
aside
nice.
From having like a bump, but I don't know, I just really enjoyed it. I felt very happy, and I had a great run.
And you didn't, because obviously working in the kind of industry that you work in, I think society is very visual anyway, and it's, you know, quite looks and that kind of, did you, because some people do struggle with how their bodies change and kind of losing control of that, but you didn't find that at all.
I just kept literally to my same old style. I literally live in leggings and kind of sweatshirts, and I didn't change that at all. And I remember going to a New Year's Eve party. I think, so that was in the January. I had Riley in March. So New Year's Eve party, and I wore like an E-cat jumpsuit. So like,
so
this
cool.
Ridiculously amazing print. I love prints. And it was just like this amazing jumpsuit. I thought, do you know what? I'm just going to embrace this bump.
Yes, so, love it.
So yeah, I mean, I just kind of carried on with my own style. I didn't hide it. I kind of accentuated it and I felt great, really.
Do you think that's because you've been quite confident for a while with your own body and how you look and how you feel?
I think so. Yeah, I just felt completely comfy. Thankfully, I didn't really change body-wise. I didn't put that much weight on. So my whole, you know, body change was really just the bump. Mm. So I was lucky in that way. So,
and you didn't do any kind of major changes in your life, so you just pretty much carried it. Oh, well, that's
I didn't. I mean, I was just always running around anyway. I didn't even do like, I don't even religiously work out, you know, but I guess I'm always just running around anyway.
Yeah, I suppose from your job, you're very, very active.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, I used to love doing loads of yoga pre-having my daughter and having that time. And I still do, you know, the odd class here and there, but I'm not, you know, I'm not religious in it at all.
And when you actually had your daughter, was it what you expected? Because obviously it can be a major transition. Mm. You know, you go through pregnancy, but as you say, you're very much still living your life and you're doing your thing. And then all of a sudden this happens. How did you find the first few months? Because it is something that some people can struggle with.
I don't want to apologise, but
don't apologise.
But I absolutely loved it. I think it was the first time I'd ever had time off work, and because I was just at home with my daughter and my husband, I just kind of went with it and just kind of relaxed into it. I didn't stress myself out. I took each day as it was. And I just kind of, I did take one bit of advice that somebody gave me, and that said, always sleep when the baby sleeps. So every time Riley had a nap, you know, however many times they napped during the day, I slept as well. I was like, just going off a little nap now. Riley wants to sleep. And really, it was me that wanted to sleep. So I didn't feel too crazy because I managed to top up every hour or every, you know, really every good. 2 hours. And I can sleep. I'm like bag purse. My husband calls me bag purse. I can sleep anywhere. So if there's an excuse to sleep, I will definitely do it. So I didn't feel too bad, actually, babe. But I think it will be interesting going forward with, you know, my next pregnancy, because I'll have obviously little one to run after.
Yeah.
So it will be, I won't have that leisurely
might
time
not
going
be
back
quite
to bedtime.
So relaxing. And how did you find breastfeeding? Because that is another area. So I personally really struggled with that. How was that for you?
I took to it well. But I didn't do it that long. I only did it for a month, which isn't very long. And it wasn't because I wasn't getting on with it or I didn't enjoy it. It was more to kind of give me, it sounds a bit selfish, but to kind of get myself a bit more of me back. Mm. I was starting to do like the pumping, and I just remember it being a little bit all centered around me and did I have enough milk? And also I just couldn't quantify how much the baby was taking, whether I was producing enough. And also it's not simple. And I just wanted to share that kind of experience with my husband or my stepdaughters, should they want to feed the baby. And I found when I stopped doing that, it kind of gave me a little bit more of a routine. And I personally, that worked for us. That worked well for me. But I did actually cry when I stopped breastfeeding.
Really?
Yeah, I did.
It's a really funny thing, isn't it? Because I actually actively hated breastfeeding.
Did you?
It was awful. It was really, really tough because I had issues with it. But it was so funny because when it came to stopping, I found it super emotional as well.
Did you?
Yeah, massively.
I did cry, and then I thought, oh gosh, have I made a mistake? And also, it's an amazing bonding time,
it
isn't
is.
It? It's a real special thing. And I did cry thinking, oh God, am I being too selfish? But after a week I was fine.
Yeah, I think, well, there is a powerful set of hormones that comes with it, which obviously makes you feel that way as well. And it is a lovely bonding time, but I suppose the key thing is you get other bonding times. They're just different when you move forward. Now, how was it when you told your stepkids that you were pregnant? And did you manage that?
Oh, they were absolutely delighted. They were chuffed. We sat them down and we told them, and we didn't find out what we were going to have. So we just said, you know, you're going to be a big sister, and we don't know what we're going to have, but it's going to be a surprise. And they were just absolutely thrilled. Oh, and they were gorgeous throughout the pregnancy, you know, always kissing my bump and hugging me and being really and speaking to my bump. And then when the baby arrived, they were just so gorgeous and so helpful, and as you can imagine, big sisters to be, really.
So lovely. And so that was absolutely fine, the kind of transition of when the baby actually, because during pregnancy, it's all very exciting. But I think sometimes, and maybe this is when there's less of an age gap, but sometimes the sibling struggles with the lack of attention from a new one. But did you have any issue with that?
We didn't. We tried to be as inclusive as possible. And my husband was obviously making sure they had great one-on-one time, and you know, he'd take them out and obviously, you know, their mother as well being supportive to them. So we didn't really experience any hardship there. So that was great.
Sounds like you had a really like nice transition. Yeah. And was there anything that kind of has, you know, when you look back, was there anything through you kind of from conception through to kind of the early days that really surprised you about the process?
I guess, you know, what really surprised me was how emotional I was in that first week. I literally would cry at every opportunity. Like if some of my friends, my best mates came in, if it was the first time they'd seen me or the baby, they'd walk into the room and I would literally start crying. And I'd be like, sorry, I don't know why I'm crying. I don't know why I'm crying, but I'm just so happy to see you.
Do you know what? I'm really glad you mentioned that, actually, because I found out, because on, I think it was kind of the fourth day after I had my son, I literally just like was in floods of tears for about 3 hours about something really minor. I was crying so much that I was like, oh my goodness, like it feels like someone's died and I can't quite put my finger on why I'm just sobbing. And actually, I later realised that there is a major hormonal shift that happens a few days after birth.
What is it called again?
I can't remember the name, but it's good that you're talking about it because actually no one told me.
Oh,
about
really?
This.
No one told you?
No. No one told me.
Well, someone told me that I might get like the blues, or you know, like you get really emotional, but I wasn't crying because I felt down. I was crying because I just felt so, I don't know, so emotional and happy and delirious.
Oh, that's nice. That's really nice.
I just felt really emotional to see anyone. And when they saw Riley and then they'd look at me and then they'd well up and I'd be like, oh my goodness. It's just tears all around.
Everyone was just crying. and when you then had your year and obviously you kind of have that incredible bonding time. When you went back to work, obviously, as you say, you'd been keeping your kind of head in the game.
Yeah.
But your kind of first day back in the office, how did you deal with all of
that? Oh, you don't want to know about my first day back in the office. You
do
not want to know. So obviously, I was looking forward to it. It being in the diary for a long time, my going back to work date. I had employed a girl who I thought was wonderful, to be our nanny, to help me out when I was at work and basically for a few hours every day. And obviously my mum was around, thankfully, and my husband was around at the time. He wasn't away working. But I came back, so I had my first day at work. I left the house that morning. I waved goodbye to Riley and this nanny on the doorstep. I cried as I left them. But then as I kind of got on the tube and then I got off at Blackfriars, walked across Blackfriars Bridge and I just looked at St. Paul's and I had a coffee in my hand. I was like, I felt quite empowered and like, oh, I'm back. You know, I felt like I could breathe. It felt quite strange not to have Riley attached to my hip. But I felt really positive. And the first day back in the office, everyone was gorgeous and really lovely. And it was a great first day back. Got back home that evening. And the nanny just made a little comment going, oh yeah, Riley's been brilliant today. And she said, it is quite an isolating job though, isn't it, being a nanny? I was like, she goes, I didn't really see anyone today, you know, we went out, but it is quite lonely, you know, you don't really get to chat to anyone. I said, well, that's why you've got to like meet other fellow nannies or maybe mums in the area and kind of do your bonding groups, and there's loads of activity groups in the local area, so like build your network really. And she just said that one comment and then she left that evening. I said, see you tomorrow. And then she called me that evening and she said, she was in floods of tears, she's like, I'm really sorry. I've spoken with my father and I just can't do this anymore. I don't think nannying's for me. And I was like, oh, are you kidding me? It'd been like 2 months, I think 2.5 months. And this was my first day back to work. And I was like, are you kidding me? Are you absolutely kidding me?
What awful timing.
And I just was like, well, I mean, it's probably, looking back now, it's probably a good thing she told me in the first day, as opposed to like a week or later or 2 weeks or a month later. It was probably good. But at the time, I was literally enraged.
So what did you do?
I cried. And then I rang my boss, who at the time, I think, was in Australia? I think he was in Australia or America. I can't remember where he was. But I was like, you're never going to believe this. I said, I'm so sorry. I can't come in tomorrow. I can't come in for the rest of this week. My nanny's just quit. You couldn't write it. I was just all over the place. I was just so... Luckily, work were fantastic and HR were brilliant. Really supportive. And then my mum, you know, she was fantastic as well. She just basically took over. Said, don't worry, we don't need anyone. We can do this as a family. And, you know, that's what families do.
Oh, amazing. In a crisis.
And she just, you know, helped me out until I kind of found somebody else to help out, maybe a month later or something. But I just couldn't believe it. It was so stressful. Also, I'd invested 2 or 3 months getting to know this girl and my daughter. And I felt like Riley was really comfortable. And in my first day back and that happened, I was just like, I was so upset.
Yeah, that's a bit.
So I was so angry for a while. I think I've let it go. I think. Oh, so I feel my blood pressure rising.
So when you found in your new kind of childcare situation, yeah. You then got back into the groove. Did yeah. you ever, because I feel like as kind of career women and working mums, we can sometimes get this like guilty feeling and yeah. you kind of can feel quite pulled both
yeah.
ways.
Yeah.
How do you deal with that?
Yeah, I still feel the guilt in every way. I always feel like when I don't know, I just feel like constantly like I'm not doing enough.
Yeah.
Even though I'm probably over compensating. I do 4 days of work, 4 days at you know, a week at work. But actually I take a Friday off, but actually in that Friday when Riley's at nursery, I always work because I always feel like I want to give back, I want to do more, I want to be on top, and I don't want to be chasing my tail. And I think to do 5 days into four is challenging anyway. And in entertainment, it doesn't really work like that. It's kind of, you know,
24
it's
24. Hour job.
Yeah, it's not, it doesn't work. Like, I can't clock in at 8, leave at 4, and then expect the job to just handle itself. It's all on me. So, and because I love my job, I'm invested in it. I'm going to answer emails across the, you know, around the clock. I just feel like, yeah, I'm kind of probably stretching myself. I feel stretched all the time. But I think when I speak to my friends and other mums and dads, I think everyone feels the same struggle.
Yeah.
I think it's just what it is right now.
It is. And then on top of that, this is a thing that I find also, it can be quite tricky. You know, you have a big career, you have your child, and then you also have your friends and your partner.
Mm.
So how did you find your relationship with your husband? Did it change? Was it more positive? Do you find it kind of tough to manage everything? And yeah. of course, you've got an additional family yeah. attached to that as well. So how do you manage all of that? Because it can be really overwhelming.
I think for me, I had to prioritize the family. I think having Riley has made us a stronger family unit. It's definitely helped me be a better stepmom and a better partner to Kelly, because I now understand what it is to be a mother or to be a parent, and for the girls to be a mum. You know, I was a mum in training before, but now I actually know what it feels like, and I think I can see things from a different perspective. Like, I think when I was before Riley, maybe I was a bit more selfish. Maybe, you know, I didn't understand things from Kelly's perspective, or I'd be a bit like, if we went out for a night or we went on holiday by ourselves, he'd always be a little bit pulled. And I was like, just chill out, babe. You know, what are you worried about? Like, come on, get a drink down you. It'll be fine. And I never could really understand or sympathise. But now, you know, if we go out, I'm the one that's like, ooh, you know, is she going to be okay? And he's the one telling me, like, chill out.
It is funny how you don't almost appreciate it until you actually go through yeah. it yourself. So it's really interesting.
You can try, but you think you do. You think you do, but you don't. So that's been, I think, having Riley has made me a better parent, a better stepmom and a better partner to Kel. But I, you know, you say something kind of has to give. And for me, I feel my guilt now comes from my friendship groups. I feel like I just don't have the time that I used to have to go and see my mates as much as I would love to. And I feel guilty, like I can't come to things, or, you know, it's too much. You know, I just find it hard to fit it all in with work full time and then having three kids and a husband who's, you know, can be sometimes on tour a lot. And we're just always juggling. I find it hard to get in the all the time with my friends. So that's something that I feel guilty about. But my friends are amazing and they always understand.
But they're probably going through something similar.
Yeah, some of them are exactly. So you just kind of, I think everyone knows we're in the same kind of, we're on the same path, at least for these early years.
Mm. So you're quite an open, kind of honest person. Mm. Do you think that helps? Because I think sometimes, you know, we feel all this kind of overwhelming burden, and sometimes the sense can be to go to ground. You find kind of being open and talking about it is helpful.
I feel like I'm just like heart and sleeve kind of person. I probably share too much. I'm quite emotional, and I will always tell people how I feel, and I'll always, you know, apologize, or, you know, and people, my friends will say, why are you apologizing? You know, you don't need to apologize, but I'm always feeling, I always feel a sense of guilt all the time.
Yes, I think a lot of us do. And I guess that's the big thing that many people struggle with is how do you kind of deal with the guilt? Because, you know, it's physically impossible to do everything perfectly.
Can't do everything.
But yet it seems
like I want to do everything.
Exactly.
But I think I've just got to like just accept it. And I have learned to now accept it and stop beating myself up and just have to let things go. And I can't expect to be the person I was now than I was at age 26, you know.
And do you have anything that you kind of do for yourself? Like, because obviously you've got so much stuff going on with everyone else. Like, do you ever take some time, and are there things that you do for yourself to kind of keep you in a good headspace?
I go to a personal trainer twice a week that I've just started doing recently. And that's quite a luxury. And I used to, again, feel guilty about paying out for a PT. But now I feel like, well, I'm not going out. So it's actually, rather than spending that on wine money, I'm kind of
your wine fund's gone my, into my PT
wine
fund's
gone into my, and I don't spend a lot of money on myself. You know, I don't really treat myself to many things. So that's at the moment, that's where my luxury is, and I find those 2 hours a week are really nice, and I come out of it feeling really good. Plus, I'm doing something good for my body.
Yeah, absolutely. And so obviously you're pregnant again. Congratulations. Yeah,
thank you.
So was the process of conception same as before for you? So it was relatively like it just happened, or was it different? What was your experience of that?
It was. We were kind of undecided whether to have another child. But I was, you know, because I'm actually the youngest of three. So I have got two big sisters. And it's actually the same age gap as Riley and her two sisters. So I feel like, and Kelly as well, he's got two older brothers. So he was the youngest of three. So when we had Riley, we felt like we'd kind of created the life that we had. And we both had amazing childhoods. Like, we had elder siblings that we looked up to. Plus, we had all the time and attention from our parents because we were that much younger. So it's kind of like being an only child in some respects, because you get all that time, but then you've got the siblings as well. So we were really happy, obviously, having Riley, and I thought I'd just be happy having one child, because we are then a family of five. That's a lot of people in one house. But then it got to, you know, I don't know, I think she was probably two or two and a half, and I started feeling a little bit, oh, I don't know, maybe I kind of fancy another little baby. And, you know, I started thinking that, and, you know, shared that with my husband, and we decided to go for it. And if it happened, it happened, and thankfully it did happen. So I put it in the hands of the gods, and we were lucky enough to fall pregnant. So.
And do you think your daughter has kind of understands what's going on, that she's going to get a sibling?
She does. She does. She's now three and a half. So when the baby's born, she'll be four. And she's really understanding it. And she comes up and she kisses my belly and she's talking to the baby. We don't know what we're going to have. We're going to leave it as a surprise. So she thinks, she's adamant that it's a sister. And I don't know. But she keeps talking about, like, oh, I'm going to give this toy to the baby, or I'm going to, things that are too small for her, like like trainers. She had these little Nike trainers. She goes, they don't fit me, but they'll fit my baby Sweet. Sister. I said, yeah, baby sister or brother. But yeah, she's been really good. And I think she's at an age now where she's going to really embrace being a big sister.
Oh, that's so lovely. And obviously, as you say, you've got quite a big family. Mm. And obviously, we're coming into the festive period. Mm. How do you guys manage keeping everyone happy? Because it is something that people are dealing with a lot more nowadays, like these blended families. I mean, I have one, you have one, lots of people have them.
Yeah.
And it can be quite challenging during this kind of time of year. Yeah. Is there anything you guys have found that has like worked over time, like that maybe you've kind of learned from practice or anything, advice you'd give to anyone else?
I would say just be really positive, keep smiling, keep smiling. I mean, we've always had like, obviously Christmas has always been a shared experience with the girl's mother. So we've always had the children from like lunchtime on, and that's always just been what it is. So since we've had Riley, obviously it's been a nice, it's a different morning for us, because previously we just wake up and it was just us two, and now we've got that lovely morning where it's just me, Kelly and Riley, and we can have those precious moments with her opening her presents, and then the big sisters come over in the afternoon. So it's always a lovely busy household. This year we've got Kelly's parents coming up from Wales, so they'll be with us on the morning. My sister's obviously, she's over from Australia. So we're having a big party on Christmas Eve. So my parents, Kel's parents, my sisters, a couple of mates are coming over. So we'll see everyone on Christmas Eve. And then the day itself will just be, you know, the immediate family. And then Kelly's dad, it's his birthday on Boxing Day. So it's going to be a few days of crazy parties. Yeah.
Lots of food.
Yeah, lots of eating.
So you need a good lie down after that.
Exactly, I'll need it. I'll be in bed by 8 o'clock.
It's like my dream.
Yeah.
So given that you've gone through, you know, from the process of being a step parent to being a parent yourself now, and then you're going to be having another, is there one piece of advice that you'd give to someone starting out on their journey that you think would be really beneficial?
So one bit of advice going into motherhood.
Yeah.
I think just take each day as it comes and enjoy it, because it goes, each, you know, the years go by, everyone says that, the years go by so fast, and the early years are very tiring, and they kind of feel a bit, sometimes in a bit of a, especially the early months, they feel like a bit blurry. But if you could just try to be in the moment if possible, and just try and be mindful that these precious moments are going to be gone. Like, I can't believe I've been with my husband since the eldest girls were babies, and now they're 12 and 15, and that only to me seems like yesterday. So I've experienced that through them, so I know how fast it goes. So that's why I've always been really mindful of that with Riley, and just trying to just be and enjoy every single day, even though you feel tired. It's a crazy journey, but it's the best journey you'll ever do.
I could not agree more. And then obviously, again, you've got a daughter and you've got other stepkids as well, and you've got a new baby coming, and you also work in kind of a very kind of crazy music artist kind of scene. Are there kind of things that you're worried about your daughter kind of growing up with, and are you kind of doing anything in terms of helping her with kind of understanding her body image and with all social media around that she's going to be growing into? Is there anything that you're like concerned about and ways that you're kind of approaching this?
I mean, it's too early for me to think about Riley, but yes, I'm kind of experiencing it now through my eldest. Of course, you know, social media has its pros and cons, and I think the main thing for us as a family is we're happy for the girls to, you know, go on social media, and we trust them implicitly. But the key factor for our family is we just have to just keep talking, because I think it's so important, especially in the teenage years, to just maintain a healthy relationship with your children and just to keep that dialogue going, because as long as they can share their worries and fears and dreams with you, then I think that's the best thing you can do. It's hard to think about like the future, because it's all out of our control, but all we can do is as parents is to just try and lead them and guide them on a safe journey as much as we can, and just be there for them, and to be and to be open and to be listening. And I think that's the most important thing as a parent, just to try to be, you know, just try to listen.
I think that's such fantastic advice. And you've got a column starting next year,
right?
I do,
which I'm so excited about.
Where can we find your column?
So I am going to be writing for Baby. My first column I'm penning will be in January, and I think it will be in the March issue. So March 2020, and you'll be able to get Baby magazine up and down the country.
And it will be featuring the lovely Jackie Jones.
Oh,
now,
you.
Just before we finish, we ask three quickfire questions to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, turns out you've already answered Have
one
I? Of them. Yes,
oh
the one piece of advice you've given someone.
Okay.
Now, what was the one product or thing you couldn't live without through your journey?
Through my journey? Oh, my goodness me. I'd say the buggy. I don't drive personally, so my bugaboo has been my saviour. I'm a Londoner. I never learnt to drive. I did 20 driving lessons and I never did my test. Do I regret it? I don't know. I kind of feel like I just get everywhere on foot. I'm used to public transport and schlepping that buggy around London and getting my exercise. So I'd say my bugaboo has been my saviour.
Okay, good. And actually, I suppose we've kind of, but I'll ask you this, it's more specific. What has been the one thing that surprised you the most about your daughter that you've learned that maybe when you were pregnant, you didn't realise was going to happen?
I just think every day, especially now that she can talk, she just surprises me. She just comes out with things and I'm just like, I cannot believe that we have made you. And she, I can sometimes see Kelly in her and I can sometimes see myself in her and just, I'm just in awe and amazement every day, really, just by the little things she does and how bright they are and savvy and they just, you know, she just makes me laugh every day.
I know. That's the best thing about them. They're absolutely hilarious.
Yeah.
Slash maddening sometimes, but also very funny, which is why we don't kill
yeah.
them. Joke, by the way. Thank you so
Thank
much,
you.
Jackie,
it's been
for
lovely.
Sharing your story. And we will look out for you
Thank
in
you.
Baby Magazine and we'll give you, when your first column comes out, we'll put it up.
Thank you so much.
Can see it as well.
Yeah, lovely chatting to you today.
And have a great Christmas.
Thank you.